All right, and welcome everyone. Let me turn my radio off here. It seems like I still have it on. Okay, and here we go. This is Sunday after Ven B. Can't Slick a Ball. I'm Stephen Roberts on peoplesinternetradio.com. I said I was going to, me and my guest, be on live stream, so let me get that there. And here we go. We are on once again. He's got a t-shirt on that says Old Guys Rule. I want to welcome back to the show, Ken Hunt. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
That's good. That's good. I believe we're going to talk about synchronicity today, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to talk about synchronicity, about how it comes into your life when you're willing to take the risks and make decisions. And I think as we get older, we're unable to make those risks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I tried that one time 500 years ago, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Man, thank God we did not have Edison with that mentality, or Einstein, or any of those wonderful people that knew that failure only happened when you quit.
Right. Are we going to talk about Carl Jung's synchronicity or some other synchronicity?
Well, Carl is considered the father of that term, and David Wilcox, I don't know if you know who he is.
Sure, I do.
Those that may not, they might check out Divine Cosmos online. And David's written a beautiful book that actually is bestseller. And it really explains why what we think is going on in our life is probably a byproduct of our past lives. I know I chose to be born at this time because this is the best time in humankind's history to be on this earth.
Yeah, but how could your spirit or your essence could it possibly have known that though?
Well, I don't know, except that in my case, I was here during Atlantis, and I know that I helped cause Atlantis to sink. Now, I didn't do it for the wrong reason, but nonetheless, though, I realize what mistakes I made then, and so now I'm choosing in my current body, but the same soul, to not make those same mistakes. And one of the mistakes I made then was to trust without qualifying, without doing my homework, you know? So that's how I know it's for me. Now, that may sound weird to a lot of other people, but they have to really understand that they have existed in the past, and that if you read the book by David Wilcox on synchronicity, you will see that he brings forth characters that was Jimmy Carter in the Roman days, that might qualify for Obama in the more ancient days. The bottom line is our soul knows what it needs to complete. And before we can go on, we have to let go of all this stuff that holds us back. In my case, I got to make sure I'm part of saving the world. I didn't do a very good job last time. And as I was sinking down underneath the water, all I could think was I had good intentions.
Yeah. Is that the reason why we keep reincarnating to try to save humanity, to try to help humanity?
Well, I think it's actually to grow our own soul. We can't become God if we don't learn that all things work for the betterment of our souls. It's when we hold on to it, when we're afraid to let go of it.
Yeah.
I was afraid of water for a long time, and I didn't really know why I was afraid of water. You know, in this lifetime, well, partly because my dad's philosophy was, boy, you're going to learn how to swim. And his mindset was take you out in the middle of a boat and throw you out.
Well, that's the way my dad said he learned how to swim. His older brothers picked him up when he was 5 and threw him into the Missouri River and said, go for it. Go for it there, kiddo.
That's right.
Sink or swim.
I learned how to dog paddle real quick. I don't necessarily advocate that method, but you know, you and I both grew up somewhat at a time when parents thought, you know what, I brought you in the world, I can take you out. And so they didn't have quite the same mindset about cuddling their kids, which I think is part of the challenge we face today.
You know, yeah, that's understandable.
I don't think my kids would think that I cuddle them. But
no,
compared to how I was raised, I did cuddle them.
Yeah. Well, that's
that's good too, to some degree.
Well, that's what I mean, we seem to be losing ground, Ken. There's currently like 7.5 billion people on the Earth, and I can imagine more than 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Well, let's just take 100 years ago. There was, I think there was probably like a little over 5 billion people. Do you think we are awakening humanity any more than what we were 100 years ago or 115 years ago?
Well, I think collectively, no. I think individually, yes. In other words, we've had a lot more awakening on some individual levels. Collectively, I think we've retarded humanity's growth. And the reason we've done so is because we've taken away so much of the initiatives. You know, no one ever thought about at the age of 16, the way we used to do things is that typically a young man started to think that his dick was bigger than his dad's, and dad would send him over to his brother, and he'd go work on the farm.
Yeah.
And 6 months later, he'd have a different respect for dad. And he'd come back, and he'd get his own farm. Uh-huh. No one thought about, well, I'm going to go to college and figure out how to work for someone. And now we're starting to realize that really is counterproductive. What we need to be doing is figuring out what our dreams are and manifest those dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what we share is pretty obvious. 100 years ago, virtually no one worked for anyone. 97% of the population did not work for anyone but themselves.
Well, I believe it was like 150 years ago. That was maybe like 200 years ago, according to the history that I remember. I think there was 100 businesses for every one worker. And now it's
yeah,
like...
That don't sound unrealistic to me.
Yeah.
You know? And now we've got 97% of the people think that in order to be successful, they have to go work for someone.
Yeah, yeah, you have to make a rich man richer.
That's a major mistake.
Yeah,
is changing. Once again, it is changing. Especially now that people realize that they've been sold a bill of goods about go to college and get high-paying jobs. You know, you can work at McDonald's without a degree. But a lot of people think you have to have a degree now.
Well, you can work at McDonald's with a degree also.
Right. And I'm not knocking McDonald's per se, okay? But what I'm knocking is that initiative. I basically never worked for anyone in my life.
Haven't you?
Hell, I couldn't stand working for anyone, you know? I did have a few jobs where I did work short term, and my mindset was, well, I was looking for a job when I came, and I'll be looking for a job when I leave.
That's right. That's right.
And if I couldn't get up without an alarm clock, it was time to move on. And I learned very early in life, I don't think I'm good at working for people. I'm better off to create my own opportunities. Look in the mirror and say, gee, who is that old man? And say, oh, it's me. Okay.
Well, time is a man-made thing anyways, though, Ken.
Well, it is. It is.
So is money.
Yep.
They're both control mechanisms. Well,
in fact, whatever you think that your goal and purpose is, you know, you got to clear the clutter in your head. People say, why meditate? Because meditation allows you to clear the clutter in your head and realize we're all one.
Yeah.
We're just individuated souls that give the impression that we're separated.
Why are we still trying to help humanity along in this journey?
I don't know that exactly. In my own hearts of hearts, it's because we collectively have caused humanity a lot of pain. See, when we talk about the other guys, you know, saying, well, the Illuminati or whatever, we don't really take into account that we add to that. If you play along with the game, you're just as much the problem. And I may say I play along with the game less than other people, but I still play along with the game. I'm not taking a gun to take over the government because I don't think in the long run that solves anything. I think that just makes me the tyrant. And what I do expect to happen, though, is that the Earth and our solar system is going through an energy belt, gamma ray belt. That's why when people say, well, the Earth is getting hotter because of man-made stuff, well, to a degree, but that it kind of falls short when you take into account why are the outer planets getting hotter. Now, we may have some humans down there or over there.
It's those damn filthy rich white people driving their SUVs up on Mars.
That is exactly right. And, you know, what happens is that we create these false statements and we try to give validity to them. And that's why, yes, the Earth is getting warmer. Yes, life is changing. Yes, there are types of life that are disappearing. But that is also change. You know, it's the guilt trip we try to play on ourselves. that keeps the few people in power. That's why only a small percent of people have any money, because most people have been taught that money is a bad thing. And it's not money, it's a love of money. You know.
It's actually what you do with the money, yes.
Yeah, and so that's part of that program, you know, type thing. Yet, until we have something better, we have to realize that money is a form of commerce. And it sounds good to say, well, I'm going to create a community that's not going to have any money. And the right, the community will not have money in the sense of how we define money, but it still has some form of exchange, be it labor, be it barter, it's still money. But no, it doesn't mean that we're going to have something that's made. I mean, it's pretty bad when we gave the power to a few to say, not only will the government print the money, okay, they'll pay for the ink, they'll pay for the paper, they'll pay for all the supplies, they'll let you touch it, and when you touch it, it immediately becomes interest charged.
Right.
So
right.
I print $1 billion, you touch it, I now own you $1 billion or $1 trillion or $1 quadrillion just because you gave it a blessing. Well, that was never the way money was meant to be. That is the, you know, wonderful plan of a few. But well, it is coming to an end.
Yeah, that's these, you know, these same people that think they have power. You know, I would like to see this power. I mean, what do they have, electrical lightning bolts that shoot out of their ears, or?
Well, some say that one of the Rockefeller does, but I don't know.
But the Rockefeller has
the
power, or
the
Rockefeller
got it. And I know you and I may disagree on this. They're just as much caught up in the maze as we are. You know, not all that are of power really wish they were there, but they feel trapped.
They don't, huh? You got to say that again. Well, they can just.
My aunt is John L. Hunt. Now, Johnny started J.B. Hunt, and they started J.B. Hunt Transportation. And John L. is, I don't know, top 100 in the world, richest woman, okay? But when I talk to her, in some ways, she's far more trapped than I am. Because I'm like, well, what is your purpose? What do you want? I mean, she gets up, she's 80 years old or whatever, 80-some years old, and she works virtually every day.
Yeah.
She has 100 different companies that she's involved. What is her goal? Her goal is to make sure that the money that Johnny made, and she'll probably sue me over this, the money that Johnny made, okay, is going to go to her children. Well, her children are wealthy in their own right. So to me, I know I'm being judgmental, what the heck is that? Yeah, she does a lot of wonderful things. But when I asked her the question, I said, gee, what if everyone in the world would have food and shelter and clothing, but it meant that you would not have the opportunity to be the giver of those things? And she would not like that. And that there is the problem. You know, so-called good people, they love being able to take care of others, but they are not willing to give up what separates them. From my point of view, I don't care about any of that stuff.
Well, so many people think that they have to make a rich man richer to eke out a living.
Well, it's how you validate yourself. You know, just like if I take my uncle, wonderful man. I mean, I have the greatest respect for him. Loved him, still do. I mean, he's not in this world now, but he's just that kind of spirit. You know, here he is, 70-some years old. He sells his interest or his controlling interest in J.B. Hunt. He's no longer running it. And he's down in Texas wildcatting for oil.
Yeah.
That's the kind of spirit I am the same way. Not necessarily wildcatting for oil, but the ideal is that, you know, you have that driving spirit that age is just a number, you know? It's how you feel inside and what gets you up in the morning and what keeps you from going to bed at night. And he was not driven by money. He was driven about helping people. Now, I can't say that about my aunt. Not that that makes her a bad person, because, of course, it does not, because she does do a lot of wonderful things. But, you know, two different types of energy. Johnny's big accomplishment was walking down and knowing the names of all the people that worked for him, and knowing their wives, and knowing their children. Even the people person.
So when did he start that business?
I like to consider myself the same way. It don't matter about, you know, it's how many people attends your funeral when you give up the clay body. They're not been paid to go. As I've heard, that's been the case in some of the small cities.
So when did he start that business?
What age or what year?
What year?
I think about 62, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And, you know, his philosophy was very simple. He says, if I help 100 people become millionaires, I'll be a billionaire.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
But more importantly, though, much to the consternation of John L., who inherited all these businesses, he found and bought into people. He bought into their ideals and he funded their ideals. Now, most of those things never went anywhere. So when the accountant mindset, John L., was in charge because Johnny had passed on, she got rid of all those entrepreneurs because they weren't contributing in her mind. But to me, he understood money. The whole purpose of money is to be able to say to people, you know what? What is your dream? And what's holding you back? And if that was not an issue, you know, would you be willing to sit there and live that dream for a year and see what you can learn from it?
Right, right.
You know? And some of those are going to turn into successes. You know, if you've ever played the stock market, you don't make money investing in stocks where you get your 6 to 8% maybe a year or whatever with dividends. You make your bets by saying, you know what? Gee, that Sam Walton guy is kind of strange. I think it's kind of interesting, a guy that would dress up, drive his old pickup truck to one of his stores and stand in line to buy something and see how he's treated.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where you make your money in the stock market. And sure, you might invest 100 crapolas to get one home run. But hey, how many baseball players are known for strikeouts who are also the home run king?
Every single one of them.
Have the same energy.
Every single one of them.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. So it's all how you want to look at life. You want to play it safe. Guess what? Play it safe or play it hard, you're still going to end up in the ground or be burnt. Or in my case, I want to feed a tree.
Feed a tree.
Yeah, I'm going to be planted. They actually have a device right now that makes you part of the tree. I haven't looked into it real thoroughly because I'm not planning on leaving for about 20-some years still. But nonetheless, that's what I'm going to do. And then if I decide to come back to the earth, I'll have this beautiful tree that will be my guiding light.
Yeah.
That's how I'm planning on doing it. Because, I'm going to come back to the earth. I just don't think that my job will be... I think my spirit will be evolved enough that I can say goodbye to this earth training program. You know, I'm going to finally graduate. It's only been 26 million years, give or take.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to fight it myself. I have no plans on coming back because people are going to be less educated and they're going to be more brainwashed and they're going to be more controlled.
Well, you're probably right based on how you see it. I actually see it that there's going to be pockets all over the world that's going to be very much involved and help. And what I've helped create before I leave this clay body will be a result of that. I want to come back and see those beautiful creations that I was part of. But it's all how you want to look at it. I believe we all create our own reality. So whatever you believe is what you're going to manifest at some point.
Yeah.
But, hey, who knows?
Yeah. Well, we have another subject we're going to talk about, too. Are we going to go into that here? Or?
Well, yeah. The idea when I said synchronicity is that it's a powerful force that moves the universe when you take action. Okay. And Gauthier made that point, is that you move the universe. So in the last 60 days that I got involved in WeShare, okay, wonderful things have come into my life. And a lot of times, what is the initial spark may not stay, but it's what comes from that spark. And in this case, I am not giving up on WeShare, but I have found other things that fits into what my dream is. See, it doesn't matter what vehicle it is, as long as the vehicle or vehicles move you forward to what you want to manifest. And one of the things that I've actually been involved with for a long time, when I say a long time, it's been probably a year or two that I have followed a guy by name of Dario Bush. You ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Well, Dario Bush is, I'm not sure how you would use the term, an enigma. I guess that's what it is. He's an enigma.
Not part of the Bush Hunter, is he?
He is an unbelievable person, okay?
He's
if
not,
one just takes the time to check out what he has put on his website.
He's not part of the Bush crime family, is
no,
he?
No, he's not. He's B-U-S-C-H for what it matters.
Yeah.
But what really got my attention, here is his three-part goal, okay? Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, heal the sick, okay? And I've known that for several years, as I said, but it just didn't quite resonate with me. In some ways, maybe he just was too good to be true. But I followed him. But when I started getting clear because of my meditative energy about what my dream is, and that is to transform the 20 poorest cities in America, at least at the current level of the dream, and I started talking about, what do I know about community development? I used to be a community developer back in Kalamazoo, Michigan, for what it mattered. And so I worked with communities, and I learned a few things about what says if a community is growing or not. And one thing that really tells me if a community is growing or dying, and that is new construction. Well, I can't imagine, even though I have a background as a builder, I can't imagine I want to continue to deforest our land and to continue to pollute our land under the disguise of civilization. But what if we could sit there and build new structures that basically are impervious, that reduce the amount of drain on our resources enormously, and has the ability to reclaim our landfill? Now I get excited about being a builder and knowing what it takes to build property. And that is one thing that he brought to my attention. And like I said, it's been there for years. I just never did look at it. But after I've been studying it, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. One of the biggest things that's clogging our landfills because of different reasons, that's tires. And there's not a whole lot of use for tires.
Yeah.
Yes, there is some reclamation. You can melt them down to oil, but with oil prices being where it's at $200 a barrel, some have figured out that would be cost effective. Well, we might say, well, gee, let's go up to $200 a barrel for oil, and then we can do that. What if we could take those tires, though, and make houses out of them?
I've seen that before, yeah. And, at least, the last 10 to 15 years, I've seen people... mainly on the internet doing stuff like that.
That is right.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is that you take those tires and you make them into a slurry mixed with some other stuff. But you can basically take virtually everything in our landfill that we are just storing and start to reclaim those. And the reality is that's the future anyway. We are going to have to use our resources. Instead of trying to mine what's left in the earth, we need to mine that which we have put back on the earth and start to utilize in a different way. Well, he does that, and he's actually getting ready to float an IPO, and this IPO is going to hit the news big.
What's an IPO?
Kind of doing the same approach like Tesla. You know, most people know about Tesla's batteries. Why? Because, he's building the biggest plant in blah, blah, blah.
What's an IPO?
An IPO? Sorry.
Yes.
That's an initial public offering. I apologize for that. In other words, he's going to float a public offering to fund his dream on a pretty large scale. $700 million offering. I think it'll go higher than that, personally. But his plan is pretty well laid out. He's got the product. He's got the house. He's got the model. That's just one of his areas. When you talk about heal the sick, well, obviously he must have some solutions for healing the sick. And he does. He's got some beautiful solution. And he's actually a walking story about, how to defeat cancer and things like that. But his whole goal is that he's made this all into a form of a multi-level marketing. And some people, of course, they just cringe when they hear that because they're stupid. They don't understand why multi-level marketing is why the Donald Trump says if he was going to start over today, he'd use multi-level marketing. You know, it's why the richest man or the second richest man in the world, or at least in America, Buffett, owns 11 companies that their foundation is based on multi-level marketing. Multi-level marketing is the wave of the future. It's how we're going to market in the future. And it's here to stay. Now, sure, there's been a lot of abuse and blah, blah, blah. But I'm also here to say that Amway Corporation started something in 1959 that still is going. Even though it may not be called Amway Corporation, it's still going. And the only problem with multi-level marketing is the bullshitters. They can't sell something telling the truth. Or they have to keep it secret. And that's not the case. You know, you can get involved in Dario's program like I have. and receive money, which I have not received because I haven't been really marketing it, just starting now, without paying a penny, which, of course, defeats the whole idea about, oh, it's a Ponzi scheme. Now, those are always put out by the people that wants to keep the money in their hand. Multi-level marketing is a way to take back the resources and put it in the hands of the masses, which creates the middle classes again, which gives people the opportunity to own their own businesses again. And that's why it's poo-poo, because that does not work in the interest of the controlling few, the international banks, Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, those that feel like they have to have complete control on whether or not you're peeing or doing any other.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, anyone can go to his page. And of course, if you want to go to my page, I'm going to give it to you right now, because I want you to look at all the stuff that he offers, you know. And you, Stephen, yes, you should look at it. Hey, I'm not going to build another house without building it this way. You know, I want to have an R factor of 200 in my walls. I want to have, if someone decides to drive by and shoot my house, they can't get through the wall.
Yeah. I say, Ken, you mentioned one time, Ken, that people can pay off their mortgages this way. How would somebody go about doing something like that with all their neighbors and friends, churches?
Well, there's a lot of ways to clear off mortgages. One is really knowing how to use the legal system, and that's part of our plan. We think we have a strategy that when we have enough capital to put it into effect, we'll see if it works. But you know what? You can also simply make the money. You know, it's like this. I know a lot of people that are in jail and in prison right now that knew that they could beat the system. Okay? Well, I learned a long time ago, instead of trying to run against the wind, run with the wind. Figure out how you can run with the wind. You know, if you want to help people get away from mortgages, create capital and loan it out. Part of our thing is create our own bank, a cooperative bank. Can you imagine a cooperative bank that belongs to the Federal Reserve? Now, as I understand the Federal Reserve, I could, as long as it stays in existence, I could sit there and, with your permission, full contractual disclosure, I could say, Stephen, listen, we're going to loan you that $150,000, because it's not really a loan, because it's actually a way we tap in to get what belongs to you, but you can't do that because you don't have the approval. What I'm going to do, though, is this. We're going to give you $150,000. We're going to treat it as a loan. We're going to put another $150,000 into an escrow account, and that when you sell the house or you pay it off, okay, you're going to get that money as well. Now, if you default and don't make any payments, that will be your reserve, where those payments will be made until that $150,000 is used up, which basically means if you did not make a payment, you'd have about 13 years of payments covered. In return, you're going to allow us to tap into your account and pull out an additional $300,000. Now, Stephen, would you agree to do that?
Probably not, but where did all this money come from in the first place? Did they
Well, I'm telling you that you have an account that you can't tap into, okay? Because that's how we set up the system, okay? And here's the choice. You can go down the road and get a loan from someone else, and it's a loan. And all you're going to do is, if you default, they're going to foreclose on you, okay?
Yeah, right.
What we're doing is basically making it impossible for you to be foreclosed on. Now, if that's not good enough, we wish you the best of luck.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I do it in the spot moment. One, it's a total disclosure of facts. I'm not giving you a loan. I'm actually taking money out of your account, treating it like it's a loan.
Where did I get this money?
Well, where they got that money is because they know that in how the Social Security system was set up, that you were traded on the exchange and you have a value on your head. Just that simple.
I've heard that people are trying to collect on their bond, but...
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I've heard that there's a lot of scams out there.
Some will collect on it,
yeah.
But for the most part, it ain't going to happen. As soon as something is figured out, it's closed down. Just that simple, okay? Just like, I don't know, how long could our bank operate? I don't know. Maybe not that long.
They can operate.
If we had 100 people got loans, and the average loan was 150, and we pulled out 300,000, we'd have 30 million.
Are you going to be charging interest with this bank, or...?
I don't know. I don't have all the answers. You got to look at the rule. You got to look at what you can bend and cannot bend with full disclosure. You know, my hope would be another bank would decide to do the same thing. I don't know. I may be totally off my head, but I intend to find that out. And yes, I do think the whole banking system is going to be gone in the next few years. Okay, as we know it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going to be created in return. You know, people say, well, we don't need money. Well, I've already made the point that money is just a tool. If you're a Christian, the purpose of money is to build up the kingdom of the Lord. What is building up the kingdom of the Lord? My interpretation from what I've studied and read about the evolution of scriptures and where they were created and all that wonderful stuff, it is to build up people. And so the purpose of money is to build up people. What's the greatest thing you can do with your money is what my uncle did. He built up people. He gave them an opportunity to have their dream. And it doesn't mean that he didn't expect them to work their dream, but he took the chance on people. The greatest wealth you will ever make is to help evolve another person who wants to evolve,
yeah,
in my opinion. So I don't have all the answers, but the difference is you either are part of the solution or you are the problem. And people don't want to, oh, I'm not the problem. Sure you are. Sure you are. We are collectively, basically, a bunch of wasteful eaters. We don't contribute anymore. Now, the difference between me saying that and the Illuminati is that Illuminati created that system. And instead of changing that system and taking responsibility for it, they want to just eradicate those useless eaters.
Yes.
I don't want to eradicate those useless eaters, but I sure don't want to continue to create more. You know, the reason we have 75% of the narcotics that are considered the opiates used in America is because at one time, what people now think is their right to not have pain was only used for people that had cancer. But now 75% of all the opiates are used in America. You know, we've created addicts.
Yeah.
Why? Gee, it made a lot of money for the drug company.
Made a lot of money for the CIA, too.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, you know, why? Oh, well, that way we have monies we don't have to count for. That way we can save the world. Well, see, they still want to save the world, too. It's just their perception of how to save the world. My perception of save the world, I will lock down our borders if that's what we have to do, which I don't agree with, and not interfere in other countries. That's simple. You know? If we can't get oil from other countries, that will motivate us to come up with alternatives. Heck, we can make oil out of sun.
Well, we don't. Oil is a renewable source.
We have all these technologies. The difference is that when you have a controlling industry that wants to continue to stay in power, and they have the power of the military to enforce it, that's what we've become in America.
Well, people don't even know that oil is actually a renewable resource anyways.
Of course not. It's just like the ideal of diamonds. Heck, diamonds never had much value until Beers came up with a program that says that, gee, if you love someone, you buy them a diamond.
De Beers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then they created a false shortage.
I think that was in 1938.
By buying up all the diamonds and putting it in storage.
Yeah,
I think. If we taught history, we'd have a whole different understanding of what's going on.
That was just in the, I think, 1938 or 39 or somewhere in there.
Exactly, exactly. Before then, nobody cared about diamonds.
And,
oh, if you love your wife, you'll give her a diamond. Oh,
well, diamonds, just like gold and silver and platinum, they're just they just have intrinsic value anyways.
I think gold became intrinsic because the Illuminati needed it for their atmosphere and different things. So you create a story and a legend that motivates people to dig it up for you. And, of course, if you believe that humanoids or whatever we call humans that occupy this planet, you know, they got modified by the Anunnakians so that they had some of the knowledge of the Anunnakians, but did not have enough to really be a threat. You know, those things, you get this program saying, must have gold, must have gold. And then all of a sudden you start to say, well, gee, if they think gold is valuable, I want to hoard it too.
Right, right.
You know? And, oh, we're going to base our money on gold. Well, heck, we got planets out there made of solid gold, according to some experts. Though obviously there's not a shortage of gold, it only has the appearance of gold.
Asteroids are supposed to have great amounts in them anyways.
Exactly. And to me, that would be wonderful because that would, in essence, do what I call true capitalism, supply and demand, not contrived supply and demand. There's a difference between that. One's an oligarchy when you try to control something. When you allow competition, you don't have an oligarchy, and capitalism, I think, for the most part, works. You know, total. Gee, if I could have another utility company, I wouldn't be using the one I have.
Yeah. Well, I've said that quite often, Ken. You take the monetary system out of our government, cut people down on term limits, we would have great government.
Oh, yeah. I actually don't think we even need representative government anymore.
No, I don't either.
Never has happened anyway.
I don't either, no.
All we really need is to eliminate the lobbyists, and how we do that, we simply put out the issues, and the issues are voted on by the people, and you can do it on the internet. And for those that don't have internet, we can have a way that they can mail in or whatever. There's very few issues that we really have to have an answer yesterday.
Why do you think a lot of people hate multi-level marketing, MLM?
I think basically the program.
Program?
The program. Multi-level marketing hurts who?
Hurts who?
Yeah, who does it hurt?
The banks, probably.
Hurts the banks? Hurts the companies that you work for? When you can tell that company, take this job and shove it, they have to start having a different attitude. When you were like begging for jobs because you have this illusion that you have to work anyway, they have complete control.
Absolutely.
You know? So the more you work for yourself and you can say, take this job and shove it. Also, government doesn't like it because it's too easy to hide taxes or money that you make.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, when you work for Joe Blow and every week you get your paycheck, or every 2 weeks, right there, money's taken out for your obligations to the so-called federal government, even though not $1 of your federal taxes goes to pay anything that runs the government. And I know people think, well, you're crazy. Well, do your homework, do your research. I won't argue with you, but if you want to know the truth and do the research, you decide for yourself. Smoke and mirrors, fantastic way to give deceptions. One thing about being 63, you don't have to apologize to anybody.
Yeah.
You can think whatever you want. I don't care. but it's advantageous to get rid of the middle class. Because the middle class, actually can elevate the poor class, the lower class. But now we've created systems that basically you can make money in theory by not working better than working in what we call middle class anymore. You know. I'm not against Walmart making tons of money, but I'm quite confident, based upon the Sam Walton that I met, that Sam never would have stood for what's happened.
Did you meet him?
Yeah, I met Sam. And
he's only been dead about like 10 or 12 years now, I think.
I don't know how long. 1990s, I think he passed away.
It's been that long?
I met Sam through my uncle.
Okay.
And I didn't know who the guy was.
Right.
You know, but I mean, just he really just kind of seemed like a country boy. Yeah, this is Sam. Okay. Nice meeting you, Sam. Actually, Mr. Walton, because my uncle.
Yeah.
I have to go back when I was in my 20s. But the thing is, though, is that I didn't know who he was. I kind of knew he had a store. See, he started out, he had these little stores.
Oh, goodness. It has been a long time. 1992.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Hmm. You know? And, you know, a lot of people will sit there and make comments about the Waltons and, you know, what they are. Well, Sam paid a price, in my opinion. You know, he built a business, but he lost his family. And Christy and some of those of his family, I think that's why they wanted nothing to do with Waltons or with Walmart. I don't know his children. I do know of them a little bit, but, I think overall they're pretty good people. But the people want to say, well, look at the Waltons are making all this money. Well, what the complaint should be is not the Waltons. The complaint should be the international banks that owns Walmart, you know. Because Sam whatever would have not had wages to be barely enough so that they could get welfare.
Well, that's not just a Walmart thing. That's just a worldwide thing, though.
Well, that's a worldwide thing, but mostly that's because the banks control these companies, these corporations. You know, they aren't concerned about people. They're concerned about profit.
Well, yeah.
J.B. Hunt is owned by, I can't tell you the banks now, but, you know, when Johnny was running it, he owns 60-some percent of the company. And at some point, though, I think now that, you know, he doesn't have 20%, his wife doesn't. And that does hurt the company, too, because when profit becomes more important than people and more important than building people up, you have a short-sighted mindset.
Yeah. Are you kind of tapping on a table or something there?
Oh, I guess so.
It's making your laptop flop all over the place.
Oh, okay. My foot, that's what I'm doing. I'm getting my foot out of the way.
Okay.
But, no, it's a situation where you have to look deeper in the meaning of things. You know, like I said, a lot of people will talk about America is proof that capitalism doesn't work. And that's just not true. We don't have capitalism.
No, we've got crony capitalism.
That's exactly right. We have oligarchies. You know, we have protection of the existing company. Could you imagine at the turn of the century, Studebaker, before it started making cars, was one of the biggest producers of wagons. And at the end of the cycle, they controlled the market.
Uh-huh.
But the problem was they only had one wagon they sold.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they obviously looked at where things was going. They weren't bailed out. They obviously didn't make much money that year, but they started saying, well, you know what? We can probably take our wagons and we could probably put them on a chassis. And that's what they did. And they lasted another, I think, 64 years. They went out of business in 1960s in South Bend.
Uh-huh. I think so.
But they built some pretty interesting cars. Skyhawk, if I remember the name right, or something like that. They had some interesting cars. And hell, they were built to last. I had one that had freeze plugs that before the engine would blow, the freeze plugs would blow.
Freeze plugs?
Yeah, you can basically drive the car with no oil.
No oil? Oh, yeah?
A very interesting car. I mean, they looked like hell, but they were functional, man. They last.
Yeah.
And that was part of the problem. They couldn't compete with the other car companies that were designed to fall apart, in my opinion. You know?
Well, Ken, I know it's a little bit early. We're not quite at the hour yet, but I need to take a little nature break here.
All right.
So, everyone, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes. Let me get something good here. Any particular music you'd like to hear? Ken?
Bulls Against the Empire.
I don't know that song.
A Starship, Jefferson Starship.
What song?
Blows Against the Empire.
Wheels Against the Empire?
Blows Against the Empire is what I believe it is, if I remember correctly. Or you can have the version of Against the Wind, except change it to be With the Wind. I'm still running, but I'm running with the wind now.
You said Blows Against the Empire.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I guess there's a song. I never even heard of that song. Geez, that's a long song, isn't it?
I don't know how long it is anymore. I used to love it when I was 16.
Yeah.
That was Jefferson Starship before they broke off and became, I can't remember now. But,
Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah, Jefferson Airplane, and then the other one went to Black Sabbath. If I remember correctly.
Jeez, I can't even.
Or maybe the song was from Black Sabbath, one of the two. Black Sabbath and Starship were my two favorite bands back in my early teens, or mid-teens, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we need to mute for this one, because it's a YouTube video. Be right back, everyone. And that's about the end of that song there. There's not much left, so I just cut that off there. That was one of the shortest versions of it I could find there, Ken, so.
Yeah.
Just over 7 minutes.
Yeah, that was a little different.
But, well, are we going to get into cryptocurrency tonight, or?
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay. You sent me a link a few days ago. Crypto 888.
Right. That's a private club. You can only get involved in it by private invitation. And I see it as a another wonderful add-on. You see, my objective is to reach my dream. That is a $40 million initial dream in various stages. And based on what my uncle said, same thing. If you help enough people make X amount of dollars or have their dream, you'll have yours. And I've been analyzing WeShare and thinking, okay, what have I learned from this? And I'm going to sound kind of harsh, maybe, but basically, majority of people, and because of programming, I feel, they don't really understand what it means to make commitments anymore. We live in a fast food society. We live in a 30-second soundbite, and we've got so much information overload that we kind of keep ourselves caught up in the maze, whether we want to or not. And of course, ultimately, I believe we make that choice still. But a vast majority of people nowadays believe that their retirement is going to be based upon winning the lottery. 17% is their plan for retirement is to win the lottery.
I've heard that, yeah.
Gee, why not capitalize on that 17% and maybe increase the odds considerably?
Yeah, that's actually pretty sad because you think
Yeah,
about
so
it.
crypto does that, you know.
Well, yeah, but I was just thinking you were more likely to get hit by an asteroid than what you are to win a lottery.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But the crypto thing, if you think about this, now most people don't know much about bank arbitrage and what that means, and I'm not going to try to uneducate people about that because I'm not sure if I know enough about it. But in a nutshell, I know this. If you have $150,000 and you want to risk that $150,000, high probability that I can get you a financial instrument after all the expenses are taken out of it of 2.5 million. And I'm doing that on a small scale in case there's anyone out there that has any kind of interest in that area. But the reality is that's kind of why we are in the financial mess we're in. That's is considered a form of derivative, okay? But most people don't understand that. Gee, how many people, if they could sit there and put in $5 and they could get back $100, would probably do it. So one of my strategies, while we have the derivative, is to probably have something like that going in the next 60 to 90 days, because those things are out there. And you've got to figure out a way to help the small guy who wants to be helped. So the crypto is a way to do that. It's amazing how many people don't think anything about dropping 25 bucks or 50 bucks every weekend betting on what? What do they bet on every weekend?
Football, baseball,
Sports,
sports, yeah.
right? And the fact of the matter is, most of them do what? Do they win or lose?
They lose. They are.
They lose, okay?
The ones
But
that,
the odds of winning is a hell of a lot better than the lottery, though.
yeah, those are the ones that don't go to the boat or the casinos.
That is
So.
right. Well, what if you had professionals that they cut their teeth on this and they are betting at the high levels and they're betting in parts of the world that it's totally legal? You know, the United States is one of the few countries in the world that the betting is illegal in theory, even though we know that's still being done all the time. And there's ways around it. But the bottom line is, what if you could get a percentage on the bets that professionals are making? And numbers seem to show, gee, you could take a couple $100 and increase that every week by, well, 15 to 20 bucks.
And this is a cryptocurrency?
Well, that's part of it. It's got a lot of different levels to it. So that's one level where if you don't want to do anything besides just decide every week how much you want to, of your new growth you want to roll or not roll, that's your choice.
Can
If you
someone,
want to share it with other people, well, then you can make some money another way.
do you know if somebody can get out of this cryptocurrency at any time that they want to?
I'm sorry?
Can someone get out of this crypto 888? Can they get
Yeah, you
out of
can get
it?
out of it. The question would be, why would you want to? But
Well, my
you can pull, I think what you're asking, if you make some money, can you pull it out? Absolutely. And you can pull it
Okay.
out every week. You don't have to put it all back in. You could decide on all the stuff that you have on the new game. You could decide to roll half of it or all of it.
How does somebody actually make money with crypto?
Because let's just say that I have all the people put in $1 billion, okay? And, I happen to bet on both sides of the fence that I believe that Serena's going to lose. What would have been my return if I had bet that Serena was going to lose? It would have been a 300-to-1 odd.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if I put $500 million or $500 million that she's going to win, and I put $500 million that she was going to lose, what would I have gotten if I had won?
Probably more than $1 billion, anyways.
Yeah, well, the point
she'd be more than a 2-1.
She would have made money on both odds, wouldn't I?
Yeah, yeah, she would have been better than 5 or 10 to 1 odds.
Yeah, well, the reality is that her opponent, who ended up winning, right? Her opponent was an unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting. I don't know if this is true, but if it is true, I think it's a perfect example of karma. Supposedly, she sort of like dismiss this unknown player. Like, oh, once I get back these two unknowns, then I'll be there.
Yep.
Well, if I remember back when she was a nobody, and I don't remember who it was now, they dismissed her. And she won. And at one time, she was a nobody, you know. All of us start out in sports as a nobody.
Yeah.
An unknown seed, an unranked. Heck, she was a black woman on top of it.
Yeah.
We didn't have black people, you know, Arthur Ashe, first black man, and I think Serena is pretty much first black woman, and her sister as far as any real notoriety. Now, since then, there's a lot of other folks and nationalities that are in tennis. But tennis was a white Caucasian game for the rich, okay? It wasn't for ghetto people.
Still a lot basically is, too, though.
Huh?
I say it still basically is for the most part.
That is right, but there has been people, just like golf, you know. We didn't have, golf was not something you learned in the inner city. You learned
sure
basketball.
No.
Well, that's not true anymore.
Up until the start of the 20th century, maybe just a few decades in, it was still the rich elite.
Yeah, just like the Olympics,
yeah.
You know, all these things. But the bottom line is that if she indeed did this person, discount him, that's how you set yourself up. Never lose your humbleness. Never take your opponent. The art of war, right? Keep your enemy close. Well, if I'm in a championship play that I'm going to, you know, become the first, whatever that title she was going to get, I can't remember, 32nd Grand Slam or something, you know, realize the only person you need to focus on is the one you're playing today, you know. So that's a good lesson. But either way, back to the gambling thigh, if just by chance they took that $1 billion that was raised by little guys like you and I, and they had decided, what the heck, it's highly unlikely that she would ever lose, but let's just go ahead and throw $250,000 and put $750 on the other side. Well, obviously, that $250 times the $300 would have been a nice return. And so this group of professional gamblers, and that's what they are in a lot of different areas, have basically figured out a way to open up this private club to some more private club members. Now, I can't tell you the incomes, but I can tell you this. I have seen where funds to the tune of $50,000 a week are coming in to members. Okay, and that's not the reason to do it, because obviously, that's not somebody that is just taking the lowest amount of involvement, which, by the way, you can get in for free, and you got 60 days to kick it around and shit, you can share it with other people and still make money. That totally throws out the idea, it's one of those Ponzi schemes. No, Ponzi schemes are called Social Security. That's a Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme was actually robbing from the rich, robbing from Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly,
that's what Ponzi scheme is. And that's actually what mutual funds are.
Well, like I said, to the uninformed and ignorant, buzzwords designed to keep people in their place are put out there. Oh, it's a Ponzi scheme. Most people don't even know where the word Ponzi came from.
Right.
You know, they don't realize that the guy who, quote, created the Ponzi scheme, his last name was what?
Ponzi. Yep.
Okay. And actually, his scheme wasn't that much of a Ponzi. The government just figured out that, why don't we just steal it for Social Security?
Yeah.
You know, because, everything's a Ponzi. When you say, do you realize at some point, everyone in the world will be doing it. Bullshit. Never happens. You never, ever get everyone. First place, you got new people coming on board all the time, unless we stop growing our population. But you never get all. It's very hard if you ever had anything that had 10%. Now, this group, for example, in the last 90 days have grown from 30 to over 115,000. Oh, geez, too late now. You can't get in. And most of those are some foreign country like China, from my understanding. But the fact of the matter is, how many people every week right now are playing fantasy football? Gee, you can make $1 million playing fantasy football, if I read that right. I don't bet myself, but I do try to follow what's going on a little bit. And so why not, though, simply look at ways that you can make a very good return, use those funds for whatever your dream is, okay? And guess what? You really don't have to do a damn thing. Man, if you can make 8% every week on your money, that sure beats getting 0.01% in the bank. And you can put in as low as 150 pounds or EUs, which is about 170 bucks. And yeah, you can put in $25,000 too if you want. And you can always put in more if you want, which is what I'm doing. I will put in more when I see myself the success of it. But I do know that, you know, there's a reason why it's gone from 30,000 to 115. And when you get involved and you go on to the back end, you can actually see as the numbers roll in of new members, you can see what countries they come from. This is a worldwide situation.
So it's it is
private invitation only.
It's basically your money that you can put in and money that you get donated to you? Or that you can put, or can put
well,
in?
There's a number of ways. And there's also another side piece of it, and it is tied by the name crypto. That is actually one of those electronic monies or currency, alternative currencies.
Yeah.
And currently it has no value, but it doesn't mean it won't. Gee, at one time, for about 5 years, Bitcoin, you know, I never got above 10 bucks. And then it went from 1 year from 20 bucks to about 1,200. And now it's down to about 250 or something like that. But hey, if you'd got in at 10 bucks and it was still at 250, it would sure beat what you got on your American dollar.
Yeah.
My knowledge is American dollar since 1930 is depreciating 97%, you know, as far as buying power. So, gee, if I had taken $10 and bought Bitcoin, which I did not, and partly because I didn't understand it, now I probably understand it a little bit, but I actually think this Cryptcoin is going to be some value to it because my understanding is they have just created their own bank on top of it.
Yeah. Well, the thing,
all these crypto coins, all these electronic money things are going to be of value when the so-called fiat money crap collapses, and it is going to collapse.
Well, the thing I'm worried about, Ken, is the thing that a lot of people is worried about, the crypto coins and the bitcoins, is at least with the bank, you have, well, I guess you do have control with the crypto coins. You said you could take it out at any
time,
right?
Well, the crypto coins have some different set of guidelines on it. You hold them in there for 26 weeks. A lot of different things are involved in it.
I won't explain
all that. But the crypto coin to me is like a gift. You know, you may have problems with Bitcoin or whatever the different currency is, but what if I gave you so many a week at no cost? You know, worst thing that happens is what? They're not worth anything.
How does that work?
But what happens if they actually go up to a dollar and you made $216,000 in 6 months?
Yeah, yeah.
No, and what happens if they go to 5 or 10 or whatever?
Yeah, but what I was going to say, though, Ken, was, you know, I think they have plans on taking everything. Whether it's the physical money and the bitcoins and the cryptocurrency, I believe they have plans on taking it all. So,
well, I think they're not going to do it. I think that their reign is coming to an end. You and I are different about whether or not the world's getting better or worse. I think we're going into the golden age. I think that the storm is always the darkest before the blue sky.
Yeah.
And the sources that I follow says that they're not. Just like this month, it's going to be a biggie. You know, we have 33 things that are happening this month.
Nothing on the 26th, huh?
Huh?
Nothing on the 26th of this month, then, huh?
Not that I'm aware of, but we have the biggie thing on the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th. Gee, everyone has their own opinion about what happens on the 266th day of the year when the 266th Pope meets the first and only black man in the legend who's president of the United States. You know, what's going to come out of that? We start, and I don't know the Jewish term for it, Shemeshah or something like that. We start that this week. And if anyone follows that, you know, what's happened in the last three cycles, you know, the economy has taken a crash and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of that is contrived. And if you take away the ability to contrive things, and I do think there's some forces at work that is changing that. I actually think this thing that has been brought to me, confirmed in my spirit, is one of those things that's going to make for the soft landing for some people. I had a friend, I'm a strong believer of a book called, or a series of books called Ringing Theaters of Russia by Vladimir McGree. And I had a gentleman who introduced him to me, and this is about 9 years ago now. And when he gave me the book, it sort of sat on the shelf until he told me, he said, when he gave me the book, he says, the world's going to come to end. And it was like September 8th or something. And that was about 3 months down the road. I'm like, who knows, maybe so. Well, it did. He passed away that day. He got hit on his bicycle. So the world did come to an end. He was absolutely correct about it.
His world did come to an end, yep.
That is exactly right. And I don't know what the number is, but there's at least 40,000 people every day the world comes to an end. So I have no question the world's coming to an end every day for some people. Mine's not going to happen until about the age of 88, so I'm not too concerned about it. And I'm going to see the golden age. I'm going to be living in this golden age and be part of this golden age. That's my way of looking at it. And in my world and my reality, that will be what happens. What other people want. It's amazing how many people are good Christians and all that, and they're looking forward to all the calamity because that means that Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what Jesus ever said. But most people don't know what Jesus said because most people never read the word of Jesus. What they've read is what has been transcribed for the benefit of the Roman Empire. You know, Paul was a spy, if one does the research. And why did the disciples stay away from Paul? Because they knew he was a spy. My opinion. Okay? But those are things people don't want to, oh, no, the Bible, the Bible. I said, well, what do you know about the Bible? What do you know about the Latin Vulgate? What do you know about King James versions 1 and 2, how they came about? Well, I don't know those things. I just know the Bible. Well, then you don't know the Bible. You just think you know the Bible. And the Bible has been nothing more than a manipulative tool for the elite.
Somebody told me that there's been over 4,000 versions of the Bible.
I have no idea. I really don't. Yeah. I know when you tell people that most of the Bible came from Ethiopia, and people don't know that, and they don't believe it. Nothing's ever came good out of Africa, right? But people don't want the truth. They want to hear what sounds good, sound bites. You know, well, the world's going to end because now we're allowing gay people to be married. I got news for you.
Right.
They were getting married before. They just had to do it covert.
Yeah.
I had friends that were both male and female. In other words, one was a male, but in the emotional state of mind was a female. And he found a woman who was a male, and they lived together, and they still had sex with the people they wanted to have sex with, but they were married. There's always a way around it, but now, though, we're moving more and more of the idea that, you know what, accept people for who they are, you know? I don't have all the answers on that, and I know it's going to be a painful process as we have people lining up on both sides. Like, well, the world's going to end because now we're allowing gay people to get married. Bull crap, my opinion.
Right, right.
The world's going to come to end because people focus on what they want to happen.
Yeah.
And guess what? It will come to end for them in that mindset. I'm moving into fifth density while I'm still on the earth. I'm transforming right now and continue.
Right.
That's my reality. Yeah, you know, someone has to believe it, but what do you want it to be? That's my mindset.
Yeah.
But this is a very interesting month because, yes, we have all these things. Shemstack, I can't get the name down, but people all study that because, you know, the idea of 2001, 2008. Hey, we just had the contrived remembrance of a false flag for the reason to go in and destroy a country and take their oil and steal their gold and all those wonderful things called September, what, the 11th. And did anything happen on September 11th? Not that I'm aware of. You know, other people were claiming that we're going to have another attack. Is it still possible? Sure. Isn't it interesting that the NORAD, or whatever they call it, the agency that watches our shores, they are in hiatus here until October. That seems kind of weird to me. And of course, it's kind of weird that they weren't operating when those planes were supposedly being operated by a bunch of box cutters. I mean, how many people can believe such stupidity?
Yeah, yeah.
You obviously have never been inside of a cockpit of a big plane. I haven't flown it, but I've been in it and said, holy crap, you know. But if you were trained in it, well, it'd be a different story.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, hey, Ken, I want to go ahead and end this show a little bit early. I'm actually going to put an older show on for a pod, and I'll talk to you for a few minutes about this then.
Well, let me cover this if I have, like, about 3 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, I want to reemphasize again that, you know, there are a number of ways for you to move forward in your life. And, you know, one of those is to take advantage of professional gamblers. And a side benefit would be that you may have a crypto coin that could have some real value down the road. Like right now, I would encourage everyone to take their American funds, their fiat fake dollars, and convert a small portion of them into something that will withstand the storm that may be coming or will come, even if it's a short term. You could invest in gold if you think that's the answer. And yes, there are ways right now to buy gold bits that break off. And they also have those for silver. So you can buy a gram of gold that has 16 pieces, if I remember. And if you got about $1,200 or whatever gold is, that's a great thing to have in case you need to do a little bit of trading.
You can buy
do that with silver.
And you can buy quarter grams of gold. You can buy quarter grams and half grams of gold.
That is right. But the one I like is the one that you can break into little pieces. Each one has a little insignia on there.
Okay,
On the other hand, you could sit there and buy some, if you believe that Iran's value is going to go up, as some says, you can buy millions of dollars there for very little bit of money. But the belief is to continue to think that a fiat currency that has no value, that is worthless totally, that has depreciated 97% since its inception at minimum, okay, is smart, is a fool. So do something different. I'm investing in, because I still think they're going to come back even more, I'm investing in the one that started the alternative currency, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yeah.
But my idea is take $5,000 and take something. And quite honestly, if nothing else, invest it in stuff that you can exchange. Can you imagine the value of toilet paper for 30 or 60 days if things might be a little wacky? Or gee, even Kotexes, or not Kotexes anymore, but, you know, feminine products, cigarettes, alcohol, just common day things. Because that's all money does anyway. So do something besides wring your hands and expect the government's going to save you, because the government is the problem. Now, if you want to go into other aspects of it and you want to build for the future, you know, check out DarioBush.com. And that is D as in dog, A as in apple, R as in robber, I as in Indianapolis, O as in other, B as in boy, U as in ugly, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, and H as in help.com. And hey, if you want to give me a little credit, after that com, put in a / and put in a pound sound, and then use my name, which is Wind Dancer. Wind is just like hot air. Wind Dancer, well, we probably know how to spell dancer. That's how we dance, with an E-R. So it's W as in water, I as in Indianapolis, N as in Nancy, D as in David, D as in David, A as in answer, N as in Nancy, C as in cancer, E as in ever, and R as in Robert. And you will see all the wonderful things that Dario has that pertains to how we're going to clothe the naked, how we're going to feed the hungry, how we're going to heal the sick, and yes, how to get filthy rich if that is what you want. One thing about Dario, he doesn't decide what you want in your life. He knows what he's about. I know what I'm about, but I don't care how you define what you're about. Because if you get filthy rich, I will get filthy rich. Except mine will go into making the world a better place. And I will look in the mirror every morning and say, hallelujah, thank you to God I am. So that's my recommendation. Do something besides wring your hands, moan and groan, and recognize you are the problem if you are not part of the solution. That's all I have!
Well, that's pretty good, Ken. Actually, I'm just going to sign off here, and I'm going to let you go for a minute. Do you mind to call you back on your home phone or?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, that'd be easier.
I'm going to get something to drink.
All right, everyone, just stay right tuned here. I got one Bob Marley song, and then I'm going to do something very special for everyone out there that hasn't heard this in a long, long time. So, everyone, stay tuned until Wednesday. I'm Stephen Roberts. This has been Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. I hope you enjoy what's coming up next.